Welcome. It's time to make the Great Connection. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Great Connection podcast with your hosts, Catherine Lamb and Elaine McClellan. This is where common sense, logic, and science connect with the reality and impact of how we treat each other in this world, in every situation. Join us as we venture into the essence of love, the great connection that makes everything else work better. Get ready to look at love like you've never looked at it before.
And how do you dismantle an atomic bomb? I think we have to do it through love and empathy and compassion and communication and a lot of learning on our own part.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of the Great Connection podcast. This is Catherine Lamb. I'm your host, and I am going solo this week. In this episode, we're doing a tribute to John Taylor Gatto, and we're looking at his work through the lens of love. For those of you who don't know who John Taylor Gatto is, we will be putting links with this podcast so that you can research and find out who he is and the work that he's done. For those of you who are already familiar with John Taylor Gatto, we hope that you will benefit from looking at his work, not simply with the focus on his genius and brilliance and the wealth of knowledge that he has, but the motivation behind all that and the wonderful example that he is of love in action. He's been a tremendous influence in the field of alternative education. He has touched the minds and hearts of millions of people, I'm sure, through his never-ending quest to unlock children from compulsory schooling. And later in this podcast, I'm going to fill you in on the tragedy that has befallen him. You know, every year about the middle of August, I get to thinking, it's still summertime. You can look around and see that the garden is ready to be harvested, the peach trees are loaded, and that is, loaded with peaches, and we have just a multitude of beauty still all around us. Summer's my favorite time. And at this time of year, I always get a heavy heart when I think about all the children across the country who are having to go back to school. It just doesn't seem right to me. There's something in my heart, no matter how old I get, that rejoices every spring with all the school children across the country that are getting out of school and are getting ready to taste the freedom, the joy, the excitement of summertime and all that they can learn and experience. Which brings us to talking about John Taylor Gatto, who is a real hero to me. He's been an outspoken critic of compulsory schooling for many years. He was an award-winning teacher. He resigned from Manhattan public school system after 26 years of award-winning teaching. And since then, he has gone on to be a real proponent for alternative education and a real voice speaking for those who have no voice, the children in this society. I first came across John Taylor Gatto several years ago. I've always had an interest in homeschooling and spent a couple of years homeschooling my three children. Back in the day, it was not a popular thing to do, and there was little, if any, support for it. And anyone who was crazy enough to keep their kids out of the school system was really just a weirdo. It was a really difficult thing to do. But when I came across John Taylor Gatto, I picked up a copy of his book, Dumbing Us Down. And as I began to read it, I thought, man, this guy really is brave to be speaking like this. This guy really has some inside information about what's going on in education in this country. And the more I read, the more I realized that he was really taking on a huge burden trying to get information out to the public on what really goes on within the structure of schooling. And why I'm interested in bringing up John Taylor Gatto at TG Connection here is because I feel that he really exemplifies love in action. I think that part of what we want to do here is show people that love is not the fuzzy, gooey thing or the romantic thing that we often associate it with. Love is a very real force that works in every facet of life, in every category. But back to John Taylor Gatto. As much as I liked his first book that I read, Dumbing Us Down, it wasn't until I recently came across The Ultimate History Lesson, A Weekend with John Taylor Gatto, which is produced by Tragedy and Hope Productions. And this is a 5-hour interview where Richard Andrew Grove sits down and has a face-to-face talk, a face-to-face interview with John Taylor Gatto, where Mr. Gatto spills forth this lifetime of perspectives and wealth of information about the history, origins, destiny, and reality of compulsory public schooling. And after listening to all 5 hours of this tremendous interview, I absolutely was blown away because I realized that John Taylor Gatto loves children and he loves people and he understands at a really inspiring level the uniqueness and value of every individual and the faith that he has in the unique creative genius that dwells within each and every person, if only given the chance to blossom. As well as being totally impressed with his amazing amount of knowledge and the research that he has done, you can't help but fall in love with John Taylor Gatto after you watch The Ultimate History Lesson. He just becomes such a good friend. You want to adopt him as your own next-door neighbor and have coffee every morning on his front porch with him. And mainly, you want to just give him a big hug because he cares so much about children, our greatest treasure, and he realizes the importance that they are to the future of this country, to the future of family life, and everything that makes life worth living. He also has an uncanny way of reawakening memories of learning, real learning, how I personally have loved learning my whole life, and the spark that instigated that in my life, and that was my mother, her love of books, her love of good books, wonderful stories, taking me to the library when I was just a little kid, getting my own library card, the freedom of being able to walk in there anytime I wanted and pick out books and take them home and be responsible for returning them on my own, and having the freedom to spend time out on the porch in the summer just diving into books and learning and experiencing all manner of things that have influenced me all my life. It's that love of learning that John Taylor Gatto understands resides within each one of us. And he also understands the unfortunate and debilitating process that takes place within compulsory schooling that drowns and kills that spark within each child. And some people survive, but many, many don't. I want to take a look at some specifics in Mr. Gatto's work that exemplify to me the attitude and the elements of love. When he talks about students like Stanley and others that he names throughout his career, the impact that these people, these students, have had on him when he sees who they become and how they blossom and flourish when he was able to give them the personalized attention that they deserved as individuals, and create individual curriculums designed around the actual interests, talents, and genius of each student. The stories he tells are so heartwarming, and they're so real. And he understands that no two people are alike. And I'll be quoting from his books, Dumbing Us Down and Weapons of Mass Instruction, throughout this podcast. But in Weapons of Mass Instruction, he says, no two people are alike. All averages are lies, and nobody can be accurately contained by numbers and graphs. He points out that we are programmed to believe that test results tell us something about the intelligence of children or the ability to learn, and we are so stuck in that dead end. But he can see so far beyond that. In Dumbing Us Down, he says, it is absurd and anti-life to be part of a system that compels you to sit in confinement with people of exactly the same age and social class. That system effectively cuts you off from the immense diversity of life and the synergy of variety. Indeed, it cuts you off from your own past and future, sealing you in a continuous present, much the same way television does. It is absurd and anti-life to move from cell to cell at the sound of a gong for every day of your natural youth in an institution that allows you no privacy and even follows you into the sanctuary of your home, demanding that you do its homework. He's so descriptive. I mean, doesn't that just make your mind go back to how you felt every day of your school life, being stuck in those rooms and hearing those bells and going back and forth to those disconnected classes? So if we can see past all the hubbub and excitement about back-to-school clothing sales and find out what we're really doing by sending children back into this atmosphere, the newness of the clothes wears off really quickly. The newness of the new box of crayons, the new paints, the new paper, the new notebooks. It doesn't take long for that to fade, and these children are faced with those walls that John Taylor Gatto is describing so well. John Taylor Gatto has a real disdain for those who regard the mass population as human resources, and he also understands the debilitating effects of compulsory schooling on the family. Quote, one thing I do know, most of us who've had a taste of loving families, even a little taste, want our kids to be part of one. One other thing I know is that eventually you have to come to be part of a place, part of its hills and streets and waters and people, or you will live a very, very sorry life as an exile forever. Discovering meaning for yourself and discovering satisfying purpose for yourself is a big part of what education is. How this can be done by locking children away from the world is beyond me. End quote. And the solution he offers revolves around the family as well. Trust children and families to know what is best for themselves. Stop the segregation of children and the aged in walled compounds. Involve everyone in every community in the education of the young. Businesses, institutions, old people, whole families. Look for local solutions and always accept a personal solution in place of a corporate one. Now, all of this might just seem like petty complaining if it weren't for the fact that we have such a history now behind us of the failure of this system of compulsory schooling in this country, and we have all around us living proof of how bad the failure is. In Weapons of Mass Instruction, he says that he and his fellow teachers, busy filling blackboards and workbooks, running videos, cramming heads with disconnected information, we have driven even the idea of quality from the field. And by constantly bathing the young in passivity, showering them with petty orders and bells for their own good, we have created a foundry where incomplete men and women are forged. Quote, nightmare children are all about us, diseased by our indifference. Some have capacity to heal themselves, most don't. These are nightmare children, I say. No vital interests, preachers trained to organize their time around spasms of excitement and amusement or escape from punishment. The maps of the road ahead they carry are false. The most curious commentary on these kids is the thousands of hours they spend in not exploring, not playing, not seeking opportunities for personal growth, but in watching other people on television, in music videos, and computer games. Sane children would never do this. He says that the institution creates addiction. It addicts children to prefer thin abstraction and dull fantasies to reality. Okay, so as I said earlier, he is a voice for those who have no voice in this culture, and that is the children. I can't stand the thought of nightmare children. So that makes me think, and I hope it makes you think differently about our public school system. We need more voices out there speaking for the children. And not only that, the experience with the ultimate history lesson gives a person an understanding that even as adults, we are so deprived of real knowledge, truth, real education. And John Taylor Gatto cares about us too. It's not just the children. In fact, there's hardly an aspect of our society that he doesn't deeply care about, as I hope you picked up on some of the excerpts that I just read. But getting on into the look at his work through the lens of love, as we explained in our podcast number 2, the foundational elements of love, the components that have to be in place for love to occur, I will just go over those briefly, just as a refresher. Respect, knowledge, responsibility, and care are the four causal components of love. They are the four things that, when in place, actually cause love to occur. If any one of those is missing, love isn't going to happen. And we can look at those four components in relationship to John Gatto and see how they're all fully in place. And I invite you to listen to podcast 2 for a little deeper look at those components. You can see that John has a deep respect, extremely deep respect for people, for individuals. You can see that his knowledge, which includes the priorities of human needs, as well as thought processes and understanding, that he has a real grasp of that, that he has a real grasp on responsibility, which is love's highest point that bundles and directs all the other components of love, and it extends it outward from the self. But the one we are really going to focus on right now is care, because that is where the action happens with love. And just to introduce you to love's 10 vectors or action elements, according to the work of Charles Hanson in The Technology of Love, these 10 elements, action elements, contain all of the many, many actions and attitudes of love that can ever take place. In earlier podcasts, we've talked about how these appear at different intensities, and they often overlap. And as Elaine explained, they are the same as the color wheel. The color wheel looks rather limited to us, but from it we get a mixture and ability to mix every color that we can think of. So it is the same with this color wheel of love. The 10 elements composing the action are, first of all, attentiveness, then listening, thanking, praising, encouraging, comforting, assisting, sharing, contributing, and protecting. And what I find remarkable is that when I hold this list up next to John Taylor Gatto, I can see where he covers all the bases. He really does. I'm going to run through each one of these action elements of love and just give you a brief example of each and how John really exemplifies these elements in his life and in his work. And we're including some PDF files so that you can download these or print them off and look at these elements and components as you listen to this podcast. And please keep in mind that we could go so much deeper into all of these. I'm just going to barely scratch the surface. Now, starting with attentiveness, we can see that John is consciously focused. He's not just noticing the plight of students in the compulsory school system, as well as the people of America and the situation that we face with having been so dumbed down, but he really has a single eye to it. Now we're going to move on to listening. Now this element is composed of more than just hearing. It employs an objective observation using all sensory means, as well as the interpretation of that information. And what I'm getting at is, that I hope you can relate to, is he hears the cries of the children. He hears their silent cry that we have been conditioned to ignore. He hears the cries of the people who are and have been exposed to the compulsory school system that breaks us. The third action element, thanking, stems from gratitude. And John thanks the people in his life who've had a profound impact on him. And sometimes he includes their story in his story, like his grandfather, his mother and his sister, his beloved Uncle Bud, and the Hitchens family. This is John showing gratitude to these people for the wonderful experiences in his life and how these people have affected him. Encouraging is very evident in John's work. He's been cheering us on. He's been cheering on the efforts of students and parents and everyone who will even attempt to look at the concept of education versus schooling. He has not only encouraged the students that he worked with on a personal level, but he encourages all of us. And there's an excellent example in Weapons of Mass Instruction in the chapter that is a letter to his granddaughter. The fifth element is praising, and this includes all actions whose intention is to commend or approve. It's not the same as thanking or encouraging. It can stand all by itself as an active acknowledgement of appreciation. The fact that John says he sees genius everywhere is a salute to the genius in each one of us. And the examples of extraordinary accomplishments that he writes about, like Sir Richard Branson and Ingvar Kamprad, and a host of others whose life experiences have been remarkable in spite of all kinds of situations that we might think would have kept them from being achievers. So this is praise indeed. Now we're looking at comforting. And this provides for contentment and security, and it also includes avoidance of stress. I think the students who had the opportunity to experience John Taylor Gatto as a teacher certainly found comfort in having a teacher like him who was actually for them instead of against them and for the system. And I also think that people who view the ultimate history lesson, myself included, are comforted by John, just knowing that he's out there blazing the trail, that he's been out there way ahead of us, and that we aren't alone in our quest. The element of assisting is the direct expenditure of energy information. It's like that old saying, lending a helping hand. And it's also carrying the burden an extra mile for your brother. All of these elements have to include the free-willed intent to please. None of this can ever be done with coercion or against the free will. John devised ways to allow his students to be present or in attendance at school, yet free to be everywhere else that they needed to be in order to attain their goals of the individual curriculum that he had devised for them. And that probably stands out in my mind as a wonderful example of assisting. Sharing includes lending, but there is an expected return. You know, you can lend your lawnmower, you want it back. But if you share your ice cream cone, you sure don't want it back, but you might expect your buddy to share an ice cream with you next time you meet up. So there is a reciprocal implication. Sharing also includes the sharing of information and knowledge, and I think this is where John stands out when we look at the phenomenal amount of information and knowledge that he has shared with us. It is truly remarkable. Contributing is a permanent transfer of resources with no reciprocity implied. I think that John's entire adult life is an example of this because of the energy that he has used to research and give life to alternative education. It's been a huge contribution. And I have to say that the ultimate history lesson, where John spent an entire weekend being interviewed for this wonderful, marvelous work, really, it kind of cuts through everything to get to the heart of the real meaning of contributing. And the final action element is protecting, which includes shielding from injury or destruction, to rescue, to save, to defend. And I believe that this is the underlying motive behind all of John's work and why he's been willing to give so much of himself personally and at a really huge expense to himself to give what he has given to the world because of the protecting nature. But what is he trying to protect us from? I think it has everything to do with the reality behind this type of quote from the Weapons of Mass Instruction. The most reckless failure of our modern American nation is how we waste people in the interest of keeping systems efficient. Systems won't protect us in the time of the sweat bath we've entered. Systems can't heal the diseased economy which systems thinkers have built. Only sovereign human spirits, intact, can do that, the kind which can't be fashioned in factory schools. By laying out so clearly for us the history of how the American school system was formed, John warns us that Horace Mann himself called school the best jail, and by that he meant that the jail you sentence your mind to when you go to school is harder to escape than any iron bars.
I'm confiscating this manuscript, Bob.
So you read it?
Enough to realize that it's a blast at the entire penal system. You're in serious trouble. Vera has known for months what you were writing.
You haven't told me what you think of it.
I resent this personally. I stand high in my profession, and I believe I've earned that esteem. I am proud of the advances that I have helped to inaugurate. Now, you think back to the old times, leg irons, carrying the iron ball, stripes, corporal punishment, indefinite periods in the hole. Well, I have been instrumental in abolishing that kind of treatment.
Yes, that's true, Harvey.
Furthermore, you completely ignore my fight for a constructive work program.
Like making belt buckles? Or running a drill press?
Oh, I see. My entire career has been for nothing. I'm all wrong and you're all right.
I'm not talking about one tree, Harvey. I'm talking about the whole forest. I haven't spent most of my life behind bars for nothing. I've reached a few conclusions about penology, and a couple of them may be valid.
When you first came here, I thought you were changed. I was even planning to return you to the general prison population. And now this. Well, you're not going to get away with it. The Bureau has suggested that all your privileges be suspended, and you know what that means here.
You know better than try to frighten me, Harvey, at this late date.
Damn your heart. Do you think that I want to go on punishing you? We've grown old together in penitentiaries, and in all that time, I've only asked one thing from you, cooperation. The only thing I've ever gotten back was defiance. Not once have you ever shown a sign of rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation?
Yes, rehabilitation.
I wonder if you know what the word means. Do you?
Now, don't be insulting.
The unabridged Webster's International Dictionary says it comes from the Latin root habilis. The definition is to invest again with dignity. You consider that part of your job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had? Your only interest is in how he behaves. You told me that once a long time ago, and I'll never forget it. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave. And you haven't retreated from that stand one inch in 35 years. You want your prisoners to dance out the gates like puppets on a string, with rubber stamp values, impressed by you, with your sense of conformity, your sense of behavior, even your sense of morality. That's why you're a failure, Harvey. You and the whole science of penology. Because you rob prisoners of the most important thing in their lives, their individuality. On the outside, they're lost, automatons, just going through the motions of living. But underneath is a deep, deep hatred for what you did to them. First chance they get to attack society, they do it. The result, more than half come back to prison. Now, it's all here in my book. And I suggest you read it. And you read it thoroughly.
Chilling similarity, don't you think? In place of Burt Lancaster, let's put John Taylor Gatto. In place of the warden, let's put the school superintendent or the head of the Department of Education. If we change the subject to compulsory schooling, well, I think you get the picture. The reason these types of systems don't work is because they are rife with violations of love by their very nature. Anytime we are neglecting or depriving any human being of their needs, according to the priority of needs, which absolutely includes love, then we're violating love, and it tends toward entropy, which means that those situations, those systems tend toward chaos, confusion, decay, death. That's why they don't work. The reason why John's work is so attractive, it has so much scope to it, and it's so powerful, is because it is, I hope you can see now, it is totally undergirded by the elements of love. Love is always attractive. It is cohesive. Love is the natural design for our behavior. Love is the way we're supposed to work and the way we're supposed to get along and cooperate. It always tends towards that which is anti-entropic. It is constructive. Love tends towards order. It tends towards beauty. Love tends towards simplicity and order, and love is highly efficient. Love works. And you know, in our last podcast, we talked about how learning about love, the study of love, really has been suppressed in our society. And it really is time for an understanding of love and to understand the importance of it, how essential it is to our health and happiness. And we need to learn how to deliberately cause love and how to identify and recognize it in the world around us. And just as importantly, we need to be able to identify where love isn't, those places and situations where love is absent. And under no circumstances should we be forced to accept an anti-life system. You know, just because physical violence isn't visited upon children in a compulsory school setting doesn't mean that those children aren't suffering violence. It's just at an interior level that is very real. You know, the hard times are upon us. Some days the things I read and listen to are really depressing. I think it's really important that we keep hope alive and that we realize that as individuals and as human beings, when we make love our priority, it's going to have to change the whole system. It's going to change the whole family attitude. It changes the neighborhood. It changes the community, because that's how love works. And I just want to encourage you to be sure and add plenty of love to your arsenal when you're planning for hard days ahead, because there's one thing for sure and one thing that everybody needs, and that's love. Now, for the current status of John Taylor Gatto. In July 2011, he spent a weekend at the Tragedy and Hope Studios in Connecticut being interviewed for the filming of The Ultimate History Lesson. After he returned home to New York, it was only a few weeks later that he suffered a series of debilitating strokes. He has spent the majority of the past year in the hospital and various rehab units. His insurance is completely depleted, and he's now at home in a hospital bed. He is in a state of decay and debilitation, in dire need of correct nutrition and so many other things to help him get back on his feet. His friends, Lisa Arbacheski and Richard Andrew Grove from TragedyandHope.com, visited him in August 2012 and quickly formulated a plan of action to try and help raise funds and get all the necessities to John to try and work for his rehabilitation and to get him back on his feet and out in the world where he's so desperately needed. It is a true labor of love, and so many people are rallying to help in so many different ways. They have set up the John Taylor Gatto Recovery Project, and they have a specific plan of action that they're following, and you can find more information about that at theultimatehistorylesson.com. And if this podcast can do anything to bring a smile to John's face or inspire others to help with the recovery project, then we will be tremendously pleased. I'm just going to end this podcast with a final quote from John Taylor Gatto. "Sensible children do not wish to be incomplete human beings. When you impose a staged theory of human development upon them, you are in effect tormenting them. You are limiting their opportunities. The whole world has known that childhood is over at about the age of 7, and if it persists beyond the age of 12, you've got a hopeless human being on your hands. Don't be your kid's enemy. This is not a kid. This is a fellow human being, male or female. Be their partner and enlarge their opportunities. No homework, please." Thank you, Mr. Gatto, for adding so much value to the lives of countless individuals, inspiring them to blossom and become who they really are, and giving us the information and encouragement to work towards the day when, no matter whether it's spring, summer, or fall, school's out. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for joining us. Please visit our website at tgconnection.org. Leave your comments. We love to hear from you. And I encourage you to hop on over to tragedyandhope.com, where you can get more information on the Ultimate History Lesson, as well as information on how you can chip in and help the John Taylor Gatto Recovery Project. We hope you'll join us for future podcasts where we'll be looking deeper into the subject of love. In the meantime, we hope that this information helps you and creates an electrifying shift in awareness so that you can go out and love like you know what you're doing.